5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm John Miglosh for the WDMA, and we're going to be talking about direct mail today. And we're coming to you from the North Woods of Minnesota. So it's anybody's guess what kind of crazy is going to happen. And speaking of crazy, here we go with Andrew Ettinger. This is why I love direct mail. And here we go.
Direct mail allows you to break through the clutter, but it also allows you the most efficient marketing. You're buying the right data. If you get the right data, you're only going to mail to the people who make sense and who are prospects that are viable to buy your product. It's also going to do something that allows you to market within your service areas without going too far. So you really control the towns, the homes that you want to own.
Okay, there we go. Now, you know, I got started in direct mail in the early 80s. It was sort of the heyday for direct marketing. The term got coined when I joined the Direct Mail Marketing Association. It changed the name to direct marketing. And there was always this promise that you could mail to only the people that were in the market to buy right now. And that's a fallacy. It was always a fallacy. You're going to have to spill over a bit for two reasons. One, because you don't always know exactly where your market is, right? Even when you have a regional product, sometimes people, you know, I was working with a guy who made fancy piers and docks, and he said, you know, we had some, and he had a bad review, and he had a guy that was like 2 hours out of his trading area, but really, really wanted them to build his dock. It says something. It says that there's a need in that area, right? It says that there's no competition there. And so, you know, you can't know what would have happened if you would have mailed. It's not knowable. So a little extra is always a good idea. You know, and if you're segmenting your customers and you say, well, we're only going to mail to here, well, every now and then you ought to mail a little farther down, even if you're only taking sample sets from each segment, okay? Direct mail has some advantages. Let's just get over to see what Andrew has to say specifically, because we do have him queued up over here, okay? This is why I love direct mail, and he says, direct mail requires 21% less cognitive effort than digital media. He said, this definitely rings true. And we're meaning Best Postcards, are biased toward effective marketing strategies, plain and simple. It just so happens that direct mail is a medium that continues to make a lasting impression, and we love mail. So Andrew asks, have you been successful with mail? What's your favorite marketing channel? Okay, now we're going to go over to Gunderson Direct, an excellent article. This is the diagram at the top, which I really liked. Okay, so they've got, this is the creative testing process, okay? And so it marches around. It says, you know, you've got your past, hopefully you've got a past mailing. And so you're going to evaluate the results compared to the goal. You're going to measure. And then you're going to start planning. You're going to get it in the mail. You're going to get results. And then you're going to audit the results and analyze the results. You know, my only trouble with the diagram is I really feel like it should go like this and loop all the way back to the beginning. Right? Because it's a loop. Because it's an unending process where we get smarter and better. And that's why, one of the reasons I believe so strongly in direct marketing, which is iterative testing, which is this process of getting smarter. One of the reasons I believe so strongly in it is because it can't fail. You can have a bad mailing. You can have catastrophically bad mailing. But if you're committed to the process, then you're going to get smarter because you're going to test against that control and you're going to figure out how to beat it. And then you're going to beat that one. And then as you get smarter and smarter and smarter. And this is just a really excellent article by Mike Gunderson. And he gets into the process they go through when they work with a client that just wants to get in this process of beating control. Okay? Brief guide to developing direct mail creative for testing. And I love I believe that Mike listens to my critiques of the articles. And I'm always talking about, you know, talk about testing, because you know something about testing. All other media has much less ability to do tests, to do real legitimate tests all the way to purchase. So at Gunderson, direct mail is their passion, and they love figuring it out. And even those, this was interesting, even those who handle their direct mail production in-house often come to help with the creative testing, because there's always, you know, there's always something you can change, and we'll get to a really, really, really poignant point coming up here, okay? So response fatigue is always going to happen. Eventually, your control is going to get less and less effective, especially if you're mailing the same basic market over and over and over. So you want to change it up a little bit, so people say, oh, I haven't seen that before. What's new? You know, people love new. We have a bias toward novelty. So at Gunderson, they call them the Beat the Control Projects. Grant Johnson, who's on the board of the WDMA, he's got a favorite client that will come to him and say, you know, our control is wearing out, and, you know, let's go through the process of beating it. And Grant will say, well, you know, we did this 3 years ago. Why didn't you keep going at it? You know, I showed you how to do it. Yeah, but you're better at it. And he says, well, you know, that means we got to start over, essentially. You know, we got to start the process again and look at what's been going on. And they said, yeah, we know. Let's go. And that's in the article later on. But I just wanted to mention Grant. And Grant just like shakes his head. He says, why didn't they just keep me on through that time frame and all the way through, and we'll just, you know, come up with little ideas and little things we can do. So what are people looking for when they say beat the control? Usually it's a 10 to 15% improvement. And the reason is because you have to have enough bump to know that it's statistically significant. Okay, it's statistically. What do we mean by that? What we mean by that is when you beat the existing mailer, is it in a probabilistic sense likely that you're going to beat it again if you repeat the test as is, just do it over again? Will it repeat? And that's what you really are after. And so if there's no real difference, then it's not likely that it's going to even repeat. It's certainly not likely that you're going to rule it out. So what you want is something that, you know, 20% is usually what I aim for, because, you know, there's costs involved and stuff, and you have to get a little bump. But whatever the client is, their target, it depends a little on the circulation too. You know, if you're paying Gunderson $100,000 to figure this out, I hope you're mailing more than 100,000 pieces, right? Because, you know, they're not going to probably increase the revenue per piece by a dollar or the profit per piece, you know, and then you're even just breaking even. And we're not going to get into the math, because I'm not supposed to do math on the fly. That would be very dangerous, but we will look at this and see what's going on. Oh my gosh, I'm 10 minutes already and I can only go 15 minutes, and this is such a good article. Okay, so here's some of the ideas. Start with an analysis of the current control. Get behind the numbers. See if the client knows some of the things that have affected it, if they have a history. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they really don't, either because the marketing people changed or because they just had such little results. You know, you need 50, Vic Hunter taught me, you need 50 responses to be significant. Well, if you mail 50 and you got 50 responses, that isn't significant. But if you mailed 1,000 and you got 50, then it probably is. The denominator matters. Understand the barriers that historically hinder response. You know, like I was meeting with Feroz over at OnPoint, and, you know, I suggested they were offering a consultation as part of the offer. I said, can we make free really big? Free consultation. No, the lawyers didn't like that. Didn't like it. Okay, so there are barriers, you know, you got to get it past legal. Get info on environmental changes. You know, are interest rates going up? Are interest rates going down? Does that affect it? You know, is competition typically mail, you know, like at the open enrollment period, if you're doing a medical mailer, or is the election affecting it? You gotta keep that in mind for this fall. How do competitive mailings and offerings differ? What's the competition doing? You can check with who's mailing what. So what do you test? Well, the first thing probably is offer. Well, before that would be list, but oftentimes the client is determining the list. But there can be 100% differential between different lists and different list segments, as was clear in the response rate report. So sometimes if the offer is okay or you can't change it, make it bigger. You know, for Oakley, they showed me their mailing piece. I said, there's no response device. They said, well, it's here in the body copy, the 800 number. Well, and so we made it bigger. You know, I got a 20% improvement for Deluxe Check on a new product they were offering just by really making things more prominent, making it easier to understand. Oftentimes the offer and price structure, it's usually more effective to say $10 off than to say 10% off on a $100 purchase, something like that. People don't do percents very well. Okay, response, give it a sense of urgency. Excellent list of things, messaging. You know, are the benefits clear? Are the features? What does this mean to the customer? A lot of times we'll talk a lot about our product, but we won't explain why this solves a problem for the customer. Envelope copy. If you put anything on the outside, maybe there's some teaser copy you can put in there to make it more effective. This is the best one. This right here. I love this. If long form copy is working, try a short letter or even a bullet point flyer instead. I did that with the American Heart Association on their fundraiser, and we doubled the giving. We boiled down a 4-page letter into one or two and made it really clear what they were doing with the money, which it wasn't, it was wandering around. So if you got a really long letter, sometimes a short one will do better. But vice versa, if you got a short one, sometimes a long one will do better. You know, and that's what this is about. You know, trying to get a feel on what matters is very, very difficult, especially the creative side. And it's hard to bump at 10% by just, you know, moving the pieces on the board a little bit. But anyway, we're running out of time. Costs can be good, but if you cheapen it too much, you know, I've done lower quality paper for catalogs, especially B2B, and I've seen increases of, 20% increase in response and a cost reduction, because sometimes your piece just looks too expensive. And if it's, you know, if it's sending that message and you're trying to say we're having a sale, you have a mixed message. So there's a lot of things you can do. Great article. It'll be posted on WDMA.org. Get over there, check it out. Have a great day. Like and share. Your friends will know you're smart. Bye-bye.